You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. My name is Clark from Five Card Guys on Instagram. Hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. I am flying solo today, but it won't seem like that because you'll be hearing from the guys in the audio clips I'll be playing for you from Season 3 this past year. It'll be like a recap episode of 2023 filled with funnier, lighthearted moments, as well as some good hobby advice from our interview guests. So hope you enjoy this trip down memory lane, and I'll interject here and there to set up the clips. But don't worry, if you follow the podcast on Instagram, at Cards to the Moon, all one word, you know we still have one more show to end off 2023, and then we're right back at it in 2024 with a new episode on the first Tuesday of the new year. But in the meantime, let's reflect on 2023. And I thought we could start with this clip recorded in February, episode 116, where I gave a hobby hot take, which I would say that I got half right already. All right, okay, I got a hobby hot take. I got a couple, but I'll just say one right now. My first one, the National, which is coming up in July, right? In Chicago this year. The National Collectors Convention, which is i.e. the biggest sports card show in the world currently, will be reduced to half the attendance within 5 years. That's my hobby hot take. And why, you might ask? One word, fanatics. I think fanatics, why couldn't they do their own event? They certainly got the funds, you know, and they got the connections. The National has been going on so long and not much has changed other than an influx of new hobbyists, new collectors that just came in because of the pandemic. You know, even now, the venues are the same. They rotate through the same cities, Chicago, Cleveland. I think they had Atlantic City a couple times, right? And, you know, it's one of those things I feel like, you know, if nothing changes moving forward, you know, there will be some company, like in Fanatics, is perfectly positioned to really take over this space. And I think events is going to be a big thing, you know, and you know, Fanatics has been taking over everything anyways within this sports card industry. And we also have the Mint Collective. Like, we have other options now rather than just the National. And my initial hobby hot take was I was going to say the National will become obsolete, but I don't want to go too far because I know there are like old school collectors. I know people that just like love the vibe of the National, which is, you know, I'm sure pretty cool. I haven't been to it myself. I hope to go soon, but really, if you have newer collectors coming into the space, there's no loyalty to the National. Do you know what I mean? Other than what they hear about it or have seen in the past. So guess what Fanatics did 5 months after that episode aired? They launched Fanatics Events in July 2023. I do take back, though, what I said about the National decreasing in size significantly, because I think both the National and Fanatics Events can definitely coexist. Okay, the second clip features our fourth podcast host, Will, who always comes up with the gems when he makes analogies and comparisons about anything in the hobby. So with that in mind, here's how he described how he feels about SGC slabs.
It's like that guy or that girl that, you know, they try really hard. They're not the best looking, but they have a really good personality, and they're really committed to that person that they're trying to get after, and they're always there. They're reliable, and they're always trying to wow that person. And eventually, you can change their heart. You can get them to fall in love with you. And that's, I feel like SGC. That's what they're doing.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm in love with them. I love SGC slabs. So yeah, they got me.
I like that comparison. You come up with the gems for sure.
That's a true gem plus.
There you go. You know, I think we got to give props to SGC. They might still be behind PSA and even Beckett, but they're definitely providing great service. And I love that they're launching interesting promos, like the cheap grading fee for any card in this year's Bowman Chrome sets. And now I hear they're starting their own podcast, which should be interesting. I'm definitely going to tune in for a few episodes. So yeah, kudos to SGC. All right, clip number 3 and number 4 features one of our favorite guests this past year. We actually invited him on twice because we had a great time just talking with him about the hobby, and he's pretty funny too. So here's Denny, where he talks about a hobby pet peeve we can all relate to. Yeah.
The biggest pet peeve is trying to take that scotch tape off a package.
That's a good one.
That's annoying for a lot of hobbyists.
Because you can't cut it, because it's like you slide that card out, it could get caught by the stickiness too. So it's just right. It's just a bad.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. If you have like a family feud, like top five, like that answer's got to be talking to the 100 hobbyists, name the biggest pet peeve. That's got to be in like the top two, top three.
Agreed. All right, and this next clip from our second interview with Denny was when we quizzed him on his Canadian athlete trivia. You know, since we, the hosts of this podcast, are Canadian, you might have seen this IG reel on 5 Card Guys, which was the condensed version, but I want to play the full clip here just to give you an idea of his thought process, which was pretty hilarious. Enjoy.
So the question is, are these athletes Canadian? Okay, I'm gonna just give you a quick list of athletes and you tell me if they're Canadian,
Terrible.
Okay. Joey Votto.
I'm gonna get every single one of these wrong and these are 50-50. Joey Votto, I mean, sounds...
Okay, Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, no, that part I knew. I gotta do them quick, so I'll say it sounds like he's not, so trick question that he is.
You got it. He's
a oh, wow.
Yes.
Amazing. Okay, here we go.
Freddie Freeman.
I think he grew up... Oh, man. Now it's like, are every single one of these Canadian? sounds like he's not. I mean, he's really... Here's the thing. He's really well-liked, right? Everyone loves him in first base. They love to talk to him, and I've never met a Canadian I don't like because y'all have some funny people, kind people. Canadians are wonderful. That's what makes me think he's not, because it's a trick. So I'm gonna say he's not.
I guess technically
he's
isn't,
half right.
He's half right. Oh, so that's okay.
That was a trick. Yeah, he's American though, right? But his parents.
He is American, but he has Canadian heritage, so he's able to play on the Canadian national team, which he represented on the WBC. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Austin Matthews. We're going to hockey. Toronto Maple Leaf, Austin Matthews.
Okay. I know there's a huge market. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Americans love to buy American hockey players. And then they start rattling some of them off. And I think Patrick Kane's one of them. Austin Matthews. I know he spells his name like Auston.
Correct.
And maybe one T. So then it's like, is that a Canadian thing? Is that French? Like, what is going on with this name?
I love this. Commentary right now.
I gotta give it. This is like, even if you get your the question wrong on math, if you show your math.
Yeah,
even if you get the answer wrong. Yeah, right. Yeah, I get partial credit. Right. Austin Matthews. Trick question. You guys want me to say Canadian? He's American.
He is American from Arizona.
Arizona. I would not guess that. I'm 3 for 3?
Oh, 3 for 3, yeah.
Shay, definitely Canadian. He's Canadian. That I know that, yeah.
Austin Reeves.
Okay, all right. So you give me another Austin, but this one is Austin. So I'm like, why is Clark giving me two Austins? Reeves. So he's a basketball player. I feel like I should know this. He's got like that, like, I don't know, Peter Parker talking to Iron Man look, like, you know, like, hey, what, you know, I feel weird inside, Mr. Tony Stark. And it's like, I'm like, he kind of gives off this Canadian vibes.
He does.
But then I'm like, you know, recently I saw a video where he kind of like looked at a custom card and he kind of like shook it off and he's like, I don't care about this card. And I feel like a Canadian would not have done that. So I'm going to say
that's an American thing. He's American.
Such an American thing.
American thing to do.
He's American. 5 for 5, Danny.
Oh my gosh.
You did it.
Are we done? Wow. It's no more, right?
I got one more.
Bonus.
Bonus. I'm going to go to wrestling, okay?
Ooh.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Ooh.
So that's really interesting because I feel like okay, so here's the thing, right? The Montreal Screwjob, his whole Hart family, they're known to be very Canadian. But then I'm like, why is this a progression that's supposed to get harder and harder? And are you really tricking me with this? Because I feel like the easy answer is he is Canadian. But then I'm like, lineage-wise, like, was his father like some like dirt farmer from like, you know, some Wisconsin area? This is why I overthink everything.
Bonus question here, yeah.
But it's a bonus question. So what does it mean? Like, bonus question. Like, why are you doing this to me, right? So that I'm thinking that. I think the easy answer is that he is, but because it's a bonus, I think you're tossing me an easy one. I think 95% of people are going to say Canadian, and I think I'm going to have to go with that. I did a lifeline. He's how is he not Canadian? He's Canadian.
Wow.
That's your final answer? That's your final
answer? No, how is he not if he's not? Yeah, he's Canadian.
He's from Calgary, Alberta. He is Canadian. You
I
got it.
Calgary. Wow. I was thinking, like, how
unreal.
Is
unreal. 6 for 6.
Thank you.
You did well.
All right, so next on the pod, we like to do a segment called Just a Thought every now and then, where we try to come up with new ideas to make the hobby better, or at least more interesting. And one of those ideas was based on the Taco Fractor insert cards that we talked about a bunch this year. Let me know what you guys think of what I believe is still a brilliant idea. It's called Just a Thought. So any just brainstorm ideas on trying to make the hobby
more fun? Just a thought.
Yeah.
No more Taco Fractor. I'm really? So sad because, you know, a little bit peeling behind the curtain of Cards to the Moon. I was supposed to come on a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And when the Taco Fractor was like really, really in the news. And I had so many thoughts about them. And I just had nobody to share them with. But yeah, none of those kinds of product placement,
promotion,
like just advertising, against, marketing cards.
You just why? What's wrong with that? I actually, one of my ideas is a play on that, but I want to hear why you don't like.
Let me hear your idea first. Maybe you'll sway me.
Okay, ready? So, how about a pizza fractor? Okay, so hold on. It's because I love pizza, and I'm sure there's millions of people that love pizza. This would be more appealing than tacos, I think, right? But you know, like the Taco Fractor, we talked about this on the pod. It just seemed like an idea that was thrown together last minute. You know what I mean? Like, we're collecting these and then a lot of people got screwed over because they're buying it for $1,000 and then you find out it's for whoever steals the base in the World Series. They thought of that way late in the process, right? With this pizza fractor, right? It's all about intentionality, right? You gotta have a plan. I think this will work. So in next year's whatever set the fractors in, Topps Chrome, you create a set of 50 power hitters. Okay, so you got 50 names on the checklist, okay, that have a pizza fractor card. And let's say they're power hitters, okay? And they're all numbered to 5, just like the Taco Fractors were. So you got 250 cards set in total. And the batter that hits the most homers in that season gets pizza for life, right? So you pull a Shohei or you pull a Pete Alonso, just a heavy Giancarlo Stanton. Like, you're not going to get like Santiago Espinal pizza fractor card because it's, you know, obviously you're not going to win. But this will make it interesting. Like, and then, you know, when you get it throughout the year, right? Then you could buy, sell as well throughout the year because you know what exactly it's for. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You should see the look on their faces right now.
Hey, listen, my main knock against the Taco Fractor was they didn't tell people beforehand. So I think people were expecting it'd be like, a meet and greet. Exactly. So just something incredible. And it ended up being, the joke was, oh, I bet it's tacos for life. It actually ended up being tacos, which was ridiculous. So I think if you if you come out with like a pizza fractor and it's explained from the beginning, this is the premise of the chase. Right. I actually like that idea. I think if you're gonna make parallels outside of the OG, like there's gold, blue, all the OG colors. If you're gonna make shimmers and all that, I'd rather get rid of shimmers and all the rest be pizzas and tacos and Oreo fractors. I would be so much more happier because at least you're chasing something outside of the hobby. That's cool, right? Give me a stupid parallel card, but it has some sort of utility behind it. That's amazing because that just adds to the amount of chase in the product. I think that's really fun. I like that idea, but I would like it in replacement of all of those donut circles and all those other crappy parallels that have zero meaning in the hobby. Get rid of all of that trash and give me all of the pizza fractors and taco fractors.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Donut fractor for anyone.
Donuts for life.
Yeah,
do it.
You know, just have a set of pitchers, and if anyone throws a no-hitter, you know, you qualify for a donut. Donuts for life. It's endless.
That's the really sad thing. It took you 5 minutes to come up with an idea significantly better than what Tops came up with.
All right, I'm not sure where you stand with the pizza fractor or donut fractor idea, but we did have some guests on the show that offered much better tips when it comes to collecting and investing in the hobby. In particular, Brent Ware, aka Deep Value Investor on Instagram, he talked about targeting the scarcity of a card rather than the grade of a card when it comes to investing in sports cards. And before we play the clip, I just want to note that our interview with Brent is still in the top three when it comes to most listened guest episodes in our past three seasons. So it seems that people value what he had to say in that episode. Here's the clip.
You know, I focus more on the scarcity and rarity of the card versus the grade. So for example, I had a 2010 Bowman Chrome First of Machado Blue,
okay.
PSA 10, right? I sold that and bought a BGS 9.5 Gold Machado Refractor for the same price. So I sold a blue PSA 10 and bought a BGS 9.5 Gold for the same price. Right. So for me, I would much rather have the gold and continuously work on ways to get a more scarce card than a grade. That's another piece of advice that I have. And that's just what I like to do. I think about it, for example, with grading is, imagine if you and I were 12 again, right? And we're opening up wax. Right. And we're opening up 2010 Bowman Chrome. And we both pull Machados. You pull a blue and I pull a gold. And you try to tell me under a magnifying glass that your corners are better than my corners and my gold, and you want to trade.
I would
look at you like you're crazy, but yet that's what's going on in the market. Mm-hmm. Or you could do the same example with, you know, a Mike Trout First Bowman X-Fractor that just sold. That was a pristine BGS black label. It sold for 4 or 5x what his blue to 150 sells for. So imagine if we were kids again, and I had 4 or 5 blue Mike Trout First Bowman Autos out of a box, and you pulled one X-Fractor to 225, but you again told me, you know what? I actually think this is better quality. You want to trade all 4 of your blues for my one X-Fractor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if people realize they're doing this. I love grading, and I think it's really important, but there's that equilibrium where grading is only as important as the next tier of refractor that there's available. So I think in the past, you take a mantle, 52 Tops mantle, there were no variations of that. So grading was all you had to go by. Now, why would I pay a ton for a PSA 10 refractor when there's a blue? And why would I pay a ton for a PSA 10 blue when there's a gold? So I'm sure at some point, you know, if it's the red to 5 and there is a PSA 10, maybe you want to go after it at that point. But if I can keep stepping up tiers of scarcity and rarity of a card versus grading, I'm going to do it.
When I listen to that, I still think Brent's tips makes total sense. All right, if you're curious which episode where we interviewed a fellow collector had the most listens to date, That would be episode 130 back in May, featuring none other than our friend Daryl DC Chan. I think people appreciated his insight into flipping sports cards since he's had some really great success doing it. But I think people appreciated his honesty too about the fact you just can't bat 1,000.
I used to crack a lot. Like, I'll be honest, man. I had a problem, right? Like, literally, I had so many cases. I mean, yeah. Like, you don't see it in this photo, but like before, like I have a room. It's just basic. It's a bedroom that is basically shelves and shelves of like wax and stuff like that. And basically what I used to do was I would buy, you know, two cases of every Bowman product. I crack one and I leave one sealed. But I got so busy with real estate that it got to a point that I'd buy two cases of some stuff. And by the time I had time to open it, the price would already have gone up for the case itself. So I it doesn't make sense for me to crack it. So a couple shows ago, I sold a large portion of my wax to David Adams for like $50,000. So, you know, like, so I mean, I made money from that for sure because, you know, Bowman was crazy, way cheaper before. Like in 2017, when that's when I met Will, I was cracking jumbo cases of 2017 Bowman for $1,800.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And like some of the stuff we pulled out of there was crazy. I had one case, I pulled three Acuñas, a refractor, a base, and a gold shimmer. Jeez. The refractor and the shimmer, both pristine BGS 10s. And the base was just a base, 9.5. But the funny thing is, I didn't even care about Acuña back then because he wasn't even the chase.
Yeah.
The chase was Kevin Maitan. And if you ask me about Kevin Maitan, bro, I got two black labels, an orange shimmer and a gold, and the gold, like 9.5. Like,
no way.
It's sitting there on my shelf. I almost want to just put it in my showcase sometimes just to show it off, but it's like.
Yeah, so you still have it?
Of course I still have those. Who are we going to sell those to?
Amazing.
All right, moving on. This year, we also interviewed several guests who were more than just collectors. They were also content creators in the hobby, which we always say on our pod, the more the merrier, because everyone has different takes on a variety of hobby issues. Shout out to guys like Samuel C. Evans, Daps, Matt Gamble, and of course, our fellow Canadian content creator, Jeremy Lee, who hosts the popular YouTube show Sports Cards Live. And just like us, he encourages people who are interested in making hobby content to just go for it. So if that's you, here's some good advice for you heading into 2024.
Like, if somebody out there listening to this is like, I'd like to start a podcast, but I'm not ready yet. Yet, you know, yes, you are. You just have to start. Starting is the hardest part, right? If you just start and do it, you'll be that much closer to being better and better at it, to seeing improvement. If you're passionate and you are authentic and you have some subject matter expertise in this hobby, start a podcast. Why not? But start it. Just do it. As uncomfortable as it is, force yourself to do it.
All right. Just got a couple more clips for you guys before we pack it in for our final Tuesday episode of 2023. This one I liked because as much as we love talking about our strategies on buying and selling sports cards, for some of us on the pod, there's one factor we need to seriously consider before making any big hobby decisions. Would you rather once have had a card that you sold for $100, but it's now worth $10,000? Versus, would you rather have a card now that you bought for $100, but now it's worth $1?
Say that again.
Okay. So would you rather be in a situation, maybe that's a better wording, that where you once had a card that you sold for $100, so you don't have it anymore, you got $100, but now it's worth $10,000, right? But you have $100. Or would you rather have a card that you bought for $100, but it's now worth $1?
Oh, I'm
do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So you spent the $100, you're down $100 in the second scenario, and it's worth essentially nothing.
Yeah.
In the first scenario, you have $100, but you know the card's worth $10,000 if you only had to hold on to it.
Yeah.
This is probably what makes me a bad investor. I would rather take that L and have a $1 card than have that pain of knowing I sold a $100 card and now it's worth tens of thousands of dollars. Because an investor would be like, hey, you take your W's where you can, but no, that would eat me alive for the rest of my life.
Okay, I like that. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, I'm 100% the same. Like, it would keep me up at night. I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah. Anytime somebody mentions, oh, what a beautiful card, you're like, no, it's the worst card.
I might even stop collecting. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm done. I lost. I screwed it all up. I'm not participating anymore. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna up the ante, up the stakes, okay? Would you rather have sold a car for $10,000? You got 10K, but it's worth 100K right now. Okay? Or would you have a car that you bought for 10K, but it's worth 100 bucks?
Ooh.
Same? Are you guys saying the same answer?
Oh, I think that's different. I think that's different. Because now we're getting...
Okay.
Yeah.
That one gets the wives involved. It's like, honey, I lost $10,000. It's like, oh, we're getting divorced.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, honey, I could have made this amount of money. But I still have $10,000 that I'm profiting.
And our final clip of this recap episode, clip number 10. As our intro to our pod says, we like to make some hobby hot takes every once in a while. Here's a good one from this past year about the much talked about MLB debut patch.
The MLB patch will take over Bowman First Supers as the holy grail for baseball.
Oh, that is a good hot take. I disagree with it though. I personally would rather have the Volpe Super Fractor, but I just think the Bowman Chrome Super Fractor just has so much history with the Mike Trout sale, with all these six-figure massive sales. So until the Volpe is a bounty for 150K. But I do like that hot take because I could see why people are saying that it's the new logo man of, you know, the baseball world.
And it should be technically impossible to have a second one-of-one. So integrity-wise, it would hold up as a true one-of-one.
Can you imagine?
Imagine multiple debuts show up. Oh, man, that would be
bad. Where did they get these extra patches?
Yeah. I'm leaving.
I only saw one in that uniform. To the moon. Well, thankfully, there were no duplicate MLB debut patches, which means Hyung isn't leaving the pod. All right, hope you guys enjoyed walking down memory lane with us on Cards to the Moon. While we still have one more episode till we say goodbye to 2023, I just want to take the opportunity here to thank all of you podcast listeners. We're always brainstorming on how we can make the pod better for you guys. And you know, we started the year by hitting our 1,000 subscriber mark, and we've almost doubled it now that we're in December. We always appreciate you guys spreading the word about the pod, and we hope you continue to do so by sharing your favorite episodes. You can also follow us on Instagram at Cards to the Moon for more content. And as always, we love to hear from you. All right, that's it. We'll see you again on Friday for a brand new episode. We'll talk then. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.